Getting a flu shot is one of the most important things you can do to stay healthy this year. Flu shots are available and free to University of Alabama students at sites across campus and at the UA Student Health Center and Pharmacy. Check out our schedule at cchs.ua.edu/flu shot. Call 205-348-6262 for a flu shot appointment at the Student Health Center, or walk up Monday through Friday from 4 to 4:45 p.m.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Happy Sunday. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone, and it is the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
It is the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and actually this is going to be our last recorded show of this semester.
Yes, it is. So, you know, if you were just thinking, oh man, you know, I really need to catch up on episodes of this show, now is your chance, because we're going to take a pause.
Yeah.
So, you know, during that winter break, you can catch up and then be ready to go for January.
You're right. And last week we had Dr. Starrett on the show, and I think we got some following on the UREC social media page, like tagging everybody and everything and some pictures. It's been pretty cool. And then I saw in yoga, Sherry Simpson was in my class, and we were like chit-chatting about, and if y'all don't know, she's been on our show before. She's a dietitian at the Student Health Center. And we were chit-chatting about like past shows, and she said, yeah, I've been listening to y'all's shows. And I was like, really? Okay, awesome. And she was like, yeah, I just felt like pulling it up. And I got back to the show where y'all were talking about like the foot mask and like calluses and how you need your calluses. And I was like, yeah, girl, when I'm teaching yoga, I got to have my calluses. But it was like a really nice little, you know, reminder that we are on Spotify and we are on Apple Podcasts and Voices at UA. So you can always go back and listen to our shows. If you're catching us on the radio, you can listen to me talk about like calluses and Sheena doing a foot mask for her feet.
Yes. Well, okay, speaking of voices, I have a random question for you.
Yes.
Do you feel like your diction or accent has changed over the years?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
Yes.
So the reason I asked, so I was actually, I had the ability to... hear your voice from like
a my voice?
Yes, from a decade ago. So, you know, our lovely Nika Morgan, who is a regular on our show. So on Facebook, because she and I are friends on there.
Yeah.
She had shared one of the promo videos that y'all did for Body Blast
forever ago.
So I'm just going to have to play this, and hopefully my husband was like, is that Whitney? So, okay, let me see if I can find...
I was probably a lot younger, obviously, and I was probably a lot more full of life, and life has beaten me down, so my voice is a little bit more serious and a little sarcastic.
Three six-week body course. And visual fitness to kick your fitness into high gear. Freshman 15,
not on my watch. Do you know what's so funny about that? I'm sorry, but that is like the funniest thing ever, because, dude, I was like a little kid.
You and Nika both looked so young.
We did.
And I was thinking as a participant, I'm like, I wish I could have seen myself back then, because maybe I looked like a baby and sounded like a baby back then.
You know what's even funnier about that? My voice was like super chippy and like, I talk like this and like higher pitched. And as I've gotten older, my voice has definitely gotten lower. And also, I was super tan there because I am a very fair-skinned white girl with blondish reddish hair. And like literally, I had blonde hair. I had dark tan skin because I was hitting that tanning bed. And then I learned some things about life and going to the dermatologist. And I was like, okay, we're not going to go to the tanning bed anymore. That is the best thing ever.
Yeah, y'all both looked like fitness Barbie dolls. It was awesome. And then it's like your southern accent was like a little more pronounced there. Like it was like chippy, and like it was all the things
that I
needed on a Sunday night,
that
or just like
so
over
great.
The weekend hearing that.
Oh,
so that was fabulous.
Bless. Thank you for bringing that back.
You're welcome.
I feel like there's been Sheena, I feel like with you, you definitely have the same pitch of your voice.
Sure.
And I don't know if necessarily you talk like less southern, more southern. I don't know. I mean, I definitely can tell I talk real southern in that video. But I don't know. It's crazy how your voice can kind of change as you get older.
I agree. And I being... being someone who works one-on-one with patients and, you know, and same thing with you in the fitness industry, really making those connections with people and having that empathy, one counseling technique that they often recommend to folks is really just kind of like almost mirroring how the person talks, just in order to kind of get on their level, make the client feel more comfortable. And I feel like I often will mimic how other people are talking without realizing it. So if they are a little bit more toned out, chilled out, whatever, but then if it's somebody who has, like, you know, real strong Southern drawl, I'm like, I'm gonna bust this out.
You know, I will say, when I am talking to our maintenance guys at the rec center, they're very Southern. One of our maintenance guys is also a pastor, a Baptist preacher, a pastor, and so he has a very Southern drawl, and I kind of get into that zone again. But anyway, it's definitely time for a break.
It is. It totally is. Okay, after the break, we'll stop talking about accents. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Back, you're listening to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone. If you just heard a little snippet of randomness, it was definitely, we went back in time about 10 years ago when me and Nika were doing, you know, a body blast class, and it was so fun, and we're talking about how our accents have changed over the years. My voice was super high back then, and I was making the comment of how tan I used to be because I hit the tanny bed, and also I didn't know how to draw my eyebrows at that point in my life, so I didn't have any eyebrows, and I realized that I'm very thankful that the trend of eyebrows has come around and I learned how to, like, fix my face.
You know, I mean, I appreciated that so much. And during the break, I was telling Whitney that my husband was like, oh my goodness, this is the most amazing thing ever. Like, we need to call them and thank them. Yeah. He's like, I need to thank Nika personally for sharing that, because that was an amazing blast from the past.
That's so good.
So, yes. So, I don't know. Just all the things.
That's awesome. That just made my day. And it's funny because I feel like we're coming off of Thanksgiving and being grateful and moving into the holiday season. And that just makes me so grateful that we do have technology and we do have ways of keeping track of things from the past, because I feel like I forget how young I was, and my level of fitness knowledge at that point in my life was zero. I thought I knew everything about teaching and working out, and oh my gosh, what I know now is so different than what I knew back then. How do you feel? Do you feel the same way about your nutrition knowledge?
You know, and it's so crazy because you think, especially as a new graduate or whatever else, you know, you're kind of riding this high of like, oh man, I just graduated this degree, I know, like, all the things.
Yeah, yeah.
But nothing can beat professional experience.
I agree.
And just having those years under your belt. I feel like there is a greater depth to what I can share with individuals, and really being better at the actual application part. Because I think we can be full of this knowledge, but then not really know how to make it as practical for our clients as it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And then thank goodness for continuing education for both of our industries. So, you know, props to that, and shout out to anyone who works in an industry where continuing education is part of it. You know, we can loathe having to go to some of those continuing ed things, but really, I geek out over this stuff.
I do too. And it's funny because I was actually, before I came in here to record, I was watching a video, a podcast that was about, you know, osteoporosis. And I'm thinking, I would have never have watched something like that when I was 10 years ago, however old I was. I guess I was like 25. Actually, I had to have been like 25 or 26. Mm-hmm. So that was like over a decade. But anyway, I mean, it's just crazy. And so, like, the resources that we have now, and from our position, I know we talked to Dr. Sterrett last week about student development. It's interesting to see that video because I'm reminded of every single student instructor that I work with. That's how they are. It's like they're full of life. They're excited to learn. They're excited to grow. They're getting knowledge. And it's just the beginning of what their career is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like Absolutely. Claire. Was it Claire that came on our show?
Yes.
Yeah. It's the same thing with her being a nutrition intern with you, and, you know, what she's learning. And it's just, I don't know. It's cool to see your progress. I feel very thankful for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And speaking of Claire, I remember telling her just a few weeks ago that I remember the biggest piece of advice that I had gotten from someone upon graduating and becoming a dietitian. They said, you know, your first year as a dietitian, you're going to feel like you know everything, but mm-hmm. at the same time, you're also going to feel like you don't know mm. anything. And, you know, and both can be true. And one thing that was very practical to me that was helpful that a seasoned dietitian shared was, you know, when you're doing a one-on-one session with a client and they're saying like, oh, I'm coming to you for my diabetes, it can be so tempting to want to unleash every single detail and recommendation mm-hmm. and like just, you know, mm-hmm. overwhelm them with this information because you got to show them like, oh my gosh, I know all the things.
Yeah.
But then you're going to freak them out. They're going to feel overwhelmed. And then if you're going to build a long-term relationship with them and have follow-ups, mm-hmm. you're not going to have as much to talk about because you kind of threw it all in their face mm-hmm. with the fire hose. Mm-hmm. And then they may be nervous about coming back. And so I was like, yeah. wow, that is so helpful because yeah, you know, normally we want to be like, look at what all I know. Psh, psh, psh,
yeah,
psh,
yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, oh, that's not really great on the receiving end.
Do you feel like now, like now you are more apt to listen rather than throw your information out there that you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like I've definitely gotten to a place where I'm okay with silence mm-hmm. when I'm working with someone. Silence used to freak me out.
Me too.
And
yeah.
sometimes, you know, you might even still see that in me in the radio. If, you know, if we have a couple seconds of dead whatever, you know, I'm going to put in some kind of filler to stop it. But really, I think silence is very good for the client to have some reflection mm-hmm. and to just sit and process whatever you just shared with them. Me and my coworkers did these health coaching trainings with some other SEC professionals over the summer, and they talked about, you know, you really want to embrace mm-hmm. the silence mm-hmm. in those health coaching sessions, and they can be valuable. And even though it can feel uncomfortable for the professional feeling mm-hmm. like, oh, I got to fill this in, just sit with that silence for a little bit because your client may actually really want that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. I mean, I think people do. And I think I've learned that a lot this past year, just with the different people that I manage, students that come speak with me. I've actually adopted the whole, like, I'm like you, Sheena. I used to be very uncomfortable with silence. I used to be very uncomfortable with just having to sit in a room with somebody and like listen to them and feel like I have to offer something to them when sometimes people just don't really want you to offer anything. They mm-hmm. just want you to listen. And I've actually kind of found it very relaxing to just sit and listen to somebody, to mm-hmm. just like go, okay, I'm just gonna shut my mouth, and then when they're finished talking, you know, then insert myself. It's actually been really refreshing. Mm-hmm. I would recommend it to anyone that's, you know, thinking about January and your New Year's resolutions. Remember, it doesn't always have to be fitness and health related, which I think this could be a health related benefit, creating an emotional response to, you know, the person you're talking to. But I think being quiet and actively listening is super great, which has nothing to even do with the show. And I think we spent about, you know, over 6 minutes talking about this, but I don't know. I think it's worth, you know, for your mental state and for somebody else's, you know, just maybe quiet yourself and listen to what they have to say.
Absolutely. Because I think, you know, a lot of times we can be in situations where someone close to us has gone through a really bad situation or experience, and you want to support them, but you're so scared that you don't have the words to say something. Mm-hmm. So inadvertently, you may avoid that person mm-hmm. when really all they want is just either someone to just physically be in the same space with them. And like mm-hmm. you said, Whitney, just listen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, they may not be looking for, you know, this life-changing quote from you that's going to correct the terrible situation that happened, but just to know that they feel like they've been seen mm-hmm. And they're still cared for versus, you know, someone feeling like they have this pressure of, oh my goodness, I don't have the right words mm-hmm. to say. And even in the areas that I work on campus with eating disorders, you know, sometimes students or family members will say, well, I don't know what to say to them. Mm. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like to tell the support persons for folks, like, it's okay to not know what to say. And you can even ask that person, how can I best support you
yeah.
so that I don't just make something up or assume something and then stick my foot in my mouth?
Yeah. Well, that's true. Because we always, I think just in general, we want to help people and we always like assume we have all the life experiences to help somebody. And It's just not always the case. But I will say, this kind of does tie in a little bit to our topics today, which we're not even going to lie, everybody. It's you know, we're getting into the holiday. Sheena and I are like, dude, what are we going to talk about on the radio? There's only so much we can say. And we usually come back strong in the spring. But we kind of wanted to support y'all in, you know, helping you think through the holidays a little bit. And I know we'll come on a break here, you know, pretty soon. But, you know, Sheena, with your background in nutrition, my background in fitness, and, you know, as we mentioned earlier, the wealth of knowledge that we have from a decade, over a decade of work at the university in the field, I think there's a lot that we can offer you guys. And I don't think we have all the answers to everything. I think we just give you our two cents on what we think works sometimes. Maybe it doesn't work for you. And then some of the research that we've found. But we're just going to talk about staying on track during the holiday season and what that looks like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And with that said, we're going to take a quick break. Obviously, I need a break. We're going to take a quick break, and then after that, we're going to start chatting. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied, and my voice has changed because I went through puberty a long time ago, as we mentioned on the radio earlier, as we were talking about the past and how we've changed in our voices, and I was super southern and super high-pitched, and man, it's... Sometimes I wonder if I was teaching that way and if people were like, oh, God, this girl. You know what I mean? Like, listening, like, but I don't know. Anyway.
Our out-of-state students that are like, oh, man, I'm really in the South now.
Yeah, yikes. But yeah, we just want to help you guys stay on track this holiday season. Sheena, you mentioned something to me, you know, just in passing. Well, actually, as we were walking into the show, just about being aware and sensitive around the holidays, specifically when we're talking about food, because there can be such a negative impact when it comes to calories and talking about that. It was just very interesting what you said to me.
Yes. And, you know, and sometimes I think even me as a clinician and other clinicians, like, we feel like the party pooper when we bring this up. But honestly, I think that it's so important because sometimes we can assume like, oh, everybody jokes about calories and saying, you know, things, if kind of fleeting things like, oh, grandma's dressing has 1,000 calories per bite. Guess I'm going to be bad today. And I will acknowledge, yes, it can be fun to joke about that. It's something that people can bond over, whatever. But then also, too, in this world of very prevalent diet culture that we're in and the types of relationships that people have with food, especially disordered relationships, you may not realize that the jokes that you're making about food could inadvertently affect someone, you know, in their journey for their health. Maybe they're trying to challenge themselves to eat more of a variety of food, you know, maybe you have a cousin at Thanksgiving that you haven't seen in forever that has been battling with anorexia, and then she all of a sudden is trying to challenge herself to eat these comfort foods again, and it can be really hard when we are getting like all of these different comments, you know, about food and joking and all of this. And again, you know, we're always, you know, when people say these types of comments, I know that they're not coming from a malicious place. You know, it's all, you know, fun and jovial, but it can be, it can be problematic. And, you know, the saying goes, when we know better, we do better.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I think that it can go along with exercise as well. You know, I think it's good to stay on track during the holidays as much as you can. And I don't know if it's super realistic to, you know, exercise on Thanksgiving. Maybe some people do. I don't know. I mean, I guess it kind of depends on your schedule for that day. But it could kind of be the same thing. Like, if you tend to have some compulsions, you know, towards exercise, or maybe you're trying to work through something, little comments like that, I mean, it could, you know, work the other way, where maybe you do hear that comment and it does kind of trigger something or become, you know, prevalent in your head, where you're thinking, okay, I do need to make time away from my family to go exercise. I mean, it's just... there's a lot that can happen from that. I honestly, like, I cannot stand talking about calories. It's just like a pet peeve I have.
Yeah.
Like in general, I get it. There's calories in food. And I think looking at calories is important, specifically, you know, when you're trying to gain, lose weight and things like that. But, like, when it comes around the holidays, I like to just, like, let that go. Like, you know, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's not easy for everybody, but... when I hear, and this is just my personal pet peeve, when I hear people make those comments, it does get under my skin. Mm-hmm. It really does, because I think, just like what you said, you don't know who's going through something, you know, and the fact that you said that's going to change the whole course of them enjoying that meal, it just kind of irks me, I'm not going to lie.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you are an individual who, you know, maybe you have been trying to improve your relationship with food, mm-hmm. and you've been a little bit nervous about, you know, going home for the holidays and you know, knowing there are certain family members that always make certain mm-hmm. types of comments or talk about whatever kind of diet they're on, you know, really one way to protect yourself in that is think, okay, mm-hmm. I know that I'm going to hear these comments. I'm just going to go ahead and almost put this, almost just this mental hedge of protection yeah. over myself, knowing these comments are going to come mm-hmm. in passing. If I can just mm-hmm. kind of, you know, go through it, but not let it affect me, like, it's going to be okay. Yeah. Like, almost just mentally preparing and knowing, like, hey, I'm inevitably going to be exposed to these comments mm-hmm. Because I know that that's just part of that person's, like, normal, like, you know, MO, like, yeah, over yeah, the yeah. holidays.
Right.
Like, I can just not take it personal. I can mm-hmm. not let it affect me. And then work through it, like, afterwards and kind of, you know, process afterwards and think, like, okay, you know, people were joking about this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. I know it has nothing to do with me. That's just the way that that person talks yeah, about yeah. food.
And that takes a lot. I mean, that's a really big change in mindset, you know, to, you know, kind of put that aside and just go, okay, I'm going to let it go. Like Elsa, just let it go.
Uh-huh.
But one other thing, now that I think I'm just, like, expressing myself right now because it's just me and you on the radio, but I always find it interesting, and I know we're going to talk about food and some healthy habits and things, but have you ever had a family member come to Thanksgiving or Christmas and they don't eat the food, but they bring their own food? Have you ever
yes.
been in that situation before?
I have.
Or
yes.
even just in a celebration, or I don't know. And maybe I'm just being a complete critic and being completely rude right now, and I apologize. But at the same time, I kind of think, you know, I always feel bad for the people that have prepared food.
Yes.
Because, you know, me being a vegetarian, I kind of give everybody the heads up, like, yo, I'm not going to eat the turkey. But I almost wonder, like, I mean, how do you feel about it? I mean, it bothers me. I'm
no,
like, it's one day, you know?
It does. And so there was one particular situation I remember with a group of friends. Mm-hmm. And one of the girls who normally doesn't cook was like, hey, I'm going to have y'all over for dinner. I think this would be a great way for us to have some good conversation. It was just yeah. going to be four or five of us. And so she was really intentional with, like, trying to find some recipes and cook. Well, one of our friends, you know, had started a new weight loss program mm-hmm. and it had, like, very specific things as far as portions. Mm-hmm. And so she came and brought her applesauce pouch and her string cheese stick and was like, no, I'm good. And I get it. Like, she was really, you know, it was mm-hmm. rooted and she
sure.
wanted to be successful with the program and feel like she had to follow it to a T. But it did seem kind of just disrespectful to the host. Like, it made me so sad. It made me sad for everybody.
It's just awkward.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess on that, you know, I mean, I guess you do what you got to do. Maybe have a conversation beforehand. But, like, talking about holiday foods and talking about, you know, we mentioned a little bit about Thanksgiving and now we're getting into Christmas and the holiday season is, like, consistent. I mean, if you're celebrating Thanksgiving and then you go into, you know, Christmas or and other holidays that we celebrate, I mean, I wonder if it's hard for people to make healthy choices with food or if you've noticed, because, like, for me, I have a pretty good, honestly, a pretty good relationship with food to where, like, I don't really think about it a lot. I think about healthy things that I need to incorporate because I genuinely like those mm-hmm. things and mm-hmm. I feel better with my body and the balance that I have. But do you have any tips for our listeners? I know, I mean, we'll come up on a break soon and have some more time to talk about it, but, like, any tips that you would recommend around the holidays so they can stay on track?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we'll definitely dive deeper into this in just a minute. But the one thing that I will say now, and mm-hmm. I've said on the show before, is that there is really some wonder that can be done with mentally not planning on going on a diet in mm-hmm. January. Because if you have put mm-hmm. January as this marker of, like, oh, that's when I'm going to get things together, then you're going to go, like, you know, just like
you're gonna go ham.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Yeah, you know, we're a society where it's like go big or go home.
Yeah.
And you're gonna think, oh my Lanta, starting in January, I can't have da 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 da. So I gotta take advantage of all of this now. But if you don't have that plan in your mind, you're just gonna think of this as another eating opportunity. You know, that happens to have some like seasonal favorites, but you're gonna be more prone to actually listening to your natural hunger and fullness cues versus like eating to the point of uncomfortable fullness for the sake of, well, starting in January, I can't have this anymore. You know, so.
Well, and I was going to ask you this, I never come up on a break, but I was doing a little reading about tips around the holiday, and there were two things, I think it was in the same article. One was talking about make sure that you keep yourself a little bit full. I mean, not like full, but like you're not just completely not eating before you go to your Thanksgiving meal or Christmas meal. But then the other side of it talked about intermittent fasting. And I thought that was very interesting that you've got two very completely opposite concepts of like making sure you're staying full so you don't overeat, and then another concept of intermittent fasting. But what if we go to a break and then we can talk about it on the other side?
Because I have like all the thoughts on that. Okay. So you guys grab some water and do what you got to do. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Back. Welcome to Fit to Be Tied. I almost forgot how to say it because apparently it's time for us to have a break. And after Thanksgiving, I think I'm still like, you know, enjoying this time off. So, yeah, Sheena, I asked you a question. I was doing a little research before we took the, well, before the show, before we took the break. I mentioned one article talked about making sure you eat a quick bite and stay a little bit full before Thanksgiving so you're not in ravenous hunger, eating all the foods and you're like totally sick. And then the other side of it talked about intermittent fasting. And I would kind of like to know your thoughts on that.
Yes. Okay. So those are two very completely different schools of thought.
Yes.
And honestly, they're going to have probably an equal amount of like proponents for each side. I would be one that's more on this side of, we'll just say, not the intermittent fasting side.
Right.
So, you know, you really, when you are going into an eating situation, you know, and you are, say, you know, you're trying to be mindful of what you eat and whatnot, you want to set yourself up for success by getting to that event with a level of hunger that is comfortable and manageable for you. You know, if you are, quote unquote, saving up your calories for the day, so you have that thought in your mind, but then you're also like, oh, and I'm also going to, quote unquote, be good when I get to Nana's, those are not going to work because your body is this awesome machine that inherently is going to, it's going to need nutrients and it's going to need nutrition and it's going to do everything short of sin to basically get you to make up for the fact that you didn't eat. And so, one thing that I often share with groups of students, and I think I even shared this in a TED Talk in Tuscaloosa several years ago, if you were to visualize your hunger and fullness on a scale of 0 to 10, with 10 being your extremely full side and then 0 being your hungry side, you really want to go into an eating situation when you feel like your hunger is at a 3, and that's physical hunger. And this is going to be a pretty gentle and manageable hunger, so you're going to feel it in your stomach, but it's going to be the kind of hunger that's like, hey, Whitney, I'm getting hungry. If you could hook me up with some food in the next 30 to 40 minutes, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
So it, you know, that kind of lets you know, like, hey, I need to eat something, but you have a little bit of time and capacity to kind of like mentally prepare. You could think like, oh, you know, what's available on the Thanksgiving table? Like, what do I have, you know, time for? What did that dietitian say about like carbs and protein are good? So then when you are building that plate at that get together, you can be really intentional with like focusing on what you truly do want to eat. A lot of times though, we end up waiting to eat when we're like ravenously hungry. And then at that point in time, it's more of just that animal instinct kicks in because we like smell all the smells.
Shovel it in.
Like we're so desperate to get rid of that hangry feeling that we don't want to pay attention to actual fullness cues. Like our cue is really a clean plate. You know, we have a lot of times what what I call hashtag food regret.
Yeah.
And I think, I can't remember if it was when Claire was on the show or someone else where we talked about one tip being going ahead and just looking at everything that's available at the party first. Mm-hmm. And then you can prioritize what you really want versus going down the line and feeling like you got to put on a little bit of everything on your plate and then feeling obligated to eat it because it did make it to your plate.
I am a big fan of appetizers at Thanksgiving. So my aunt will always have like some knickknacks, and it's not like a lot. It's like some little vegetables and stuff, some little knickknacks and things. The same thing at Christmas time. And it's so nice because, you know, everybody celebrates at different times. We've kind of shifted ours to later in the afternoon, like after lunchtime. So it can kind of be like this continuous like feast throughout, you know, the evening. And so I agree. Like if I'm super hungry, I'm just going to go all in. Yeah. I mean, and then I'm going to feel sick. And so I think that's good. Do you have a tip on a type of maybe snack if you think you're getting hungry? Like what to eat?
Absolutely. So, you know, if you are trying to be intentional with how you're eating at the get-together, having a snack 30 minutes to an hour before you go to the get-together, something with both some carb and protein can be really great. It doesn't have to be anything huge or elaborate. It can be something as simple as a pack of peanut butter crackers, apple and a string cheese stick, you know, a handful of trail mix, something along those lines, just to, again, you know, curb that appetite enough where it's manageable, but obviously leaving you with a decent appetite where you truly are enjoying that stuffing or that pumpkin pie or pecan pie or whatever else. So yeah, definitely thinking about that. And also too, stay on top of your water over the holidays.
Yes.
Sometimes your body can mimic the feeling of hunger when it's actually thirsty. So being intentional with that hydration can kind of help with any miscues for you need to eat. Now, I do want to ask you, Whitney, about the exercise piece. So, you know, especially with the popularity of, like, the boutique fitness and all that kind of stuff. So if somebody is going home to, like, Nowhereville, Alabama, and they're like, oh, my goodness, there's not an Orange Theory in this town. Like, what do I do?
You should use my old voice from 10 years ago. Yeah.
So how, what are some practical things, you know, just for people to kind of stay in some type of movement routine so that they don't feel like they're, you know, because I think it can be easy for people to think like, oh, am I losing muscle mass because I'm not doing my full-blown routine over that winter break, you know?
Well, I think, I think there's a lot of different angles to look at this. And the biggest thing I would say is the movement component because it's colder outside. I know for myself, I don't want to get outside and walk or do anything like that. Gyms are closing. You may not have access to it. There's two ways that I typically will look at it. First way is just moving your body, like quit sitting and get up and do something. And I always recommend if you're with your family, make it a family activity.
Yeah.
Play a game, get the Wii out. Do people even play the Wii? I don't even know. I mean, I just assume I don't even have a video game system. But anyway, so like do something as a family. For those of you that are pretty into working out and you need your strength training equipment, this might be the best time for you to try some HIIT training, some body weight exercises. You're probably already doing it, but I mean, let's be real. You could find workouts galore online. You could go to YouTube, find a beginner yoga workout, you could Pilates workout, body weight workouts. You can get creative. I remember when the pandemic hit, we had to get really creative at University Recreation with things that we could do with things around the house and outside. And although it's cold now, Charles would do the big rock workout where he would go find something outside and lift it. I mean, maybe get a little creative. I think the biggest thing for me is hydration, like what you're talking about, because it's important for your joints to be hydrated. And it does play into the nutrition side of things, but also physically and how you're feeling and how you're staying lubricated. But I think letting go of an expectation that, yes, this time frame is going to be a little different, and kind of going back to the whole, you know, don't go all in kind of thing. Don't wait till January. Start doing little things now. Walk your dog if you can. I mean, it's Alabama. It could be 70 degrees at Christmas.
Right.
You never know.
Right.
But I think some type of accountability. And I think if you're not around your friends that normally keep you accountable to go to the gym, to work out, maybe download an app. There's tons of apps for like 14-day trials, like free trials. I mean, you could totally bulk it and do some workouts. But circuit training's great. I always say pick three exercises, do it for 30 seconds with about a 15 to 20 second rest in between and just circuit through it and just build a little energy, sweat a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. And yeah. I think that, you know, what I'm hearing you say in all of this, and it goes along with what we've talked about with nutrition, mm-hmm. is really having grace for ourselves with this, yeah. and being flexible with it, because I think it can be easy to be in this mindset that the holidays are going to completely ruin what we've accomplished in right. our fitness or nutrition routine. But really, when we think about your overall health and wellness and quality of life mm-hmm. and balance, you know, part of that means there are going to be times of the year where, you know, our eating or our movement routine is going to look a little bit differently because mm-hmm. we're focusing on other aspects of our wellness, like our social wellness, yeah. like really connecting with family yeah. And friends. Because I think that the holidays, you know, they're very much marketed to be like a, oh, this is when we get gifts and we yeah. eat all the foods. And yes, those things happen, but it's also a way to spend time with family. And one of these Harvard articles that I had printed out, because I'm always going to the little Harvard website. One of the things that they recommended, or the top thing, was putting the focus on the socialization of the holidays versus, you know, some of the other things that you might have been worried about. Mm-hmm. Just being like, oh, yes, I can think of this holiday season exclusively about food, but mm-hmm. it really is about getting to see so-and-so mm-hmm. that I only get to see once a year.
And I think the time frame can be very different, too, because I was thinking about, like another tip that I had was make sure you're getting enough sleep. And so mm-hmm. I feel like this time of year is perfect for our college students who are kind of run down by the time Thanksgiving gets here and they need enough sleep. And specifically, our college students are going to have a lot of time off. And mm-hmm. they're probably doing things with family and traveling, and they're not living the life that we're living where we have less time. But I think getting enough rest and maybe just, like you said, the social part of it and like reflection during that time. I think it is a time for a little bit of hibernation for your body, and I think we deserve that.
Yeah, and maybe this is a time frame where you start that gratitude journal that we talked about a couple episodes ago. Shouting out to that. But okay, you guys, we got to take a quick break, and then we're going to kind of wrap this show up. You were listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied, and this is our last show of this semester. We're going to go ahead and take some time off because, Sheena, you got a family, I've got a family now. Oh, I guess I should tell the airwaves. I wasn't going to say anything just because the family didn't know yet, but I got hitched, straight up eloped.
Dude. Did it.
It's great.
If we could have the ability of like putting in like all of the sound effects.
Yeah, the claps.
Like, and can I like acknowledge the fact that you got married on my birthday?
I did.
That's how close we are.
I did. You know, I will never forget your birthday ever. And Nika actually brought that up. She goes, I'll never forget your anniversary. And I said, I know. And the day that it happened, I remember texting you being like, yeah, dude, got married. This is just what we're doing. So just fun way to end the whole semester. But anyway, a little bit about my life.
Yes.
And Sheena, you were going to ask me a question.
Yes. Okay. So, you know, now that you have Mr. In the holiday season with you, as far as typical movies you watch during the holidays and Christmas and whatnot, whether that be a traditional Christmas movie or not, mm-hmm. what's kind of the norm for you in that? What's in your rotation?
I think in my rotation, I'm going to have to say Home Alone 1 and 2.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that was when I was growing up as a kid. And I would say that's like my childhood. I would say secondly, Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
Because growing up, that was with the family. But there was like a couple of scenes. Like, I remember my parents would always like fast forward. I never understood it until I got older. And then thirdly, I have to say Elf.
Yeah.
Elf is the funniest Will Ferrell movie to me. I mean, he's just hilarious in it.
Yes.
So those are probably my three Christmas.
It.
What about you?
I'm trying to think. So when I still lived at home mm-hmm. or went home for extended periods of time to Fort Payne, like during college and whatnot, you know, I feel like A Christmas Story was, you know, something, because it was constantly on like TBS and TNT. Like they do like the marathon.
Oh my gosh.
I always watched that with my dad.
Yes.
But really, when I am home for the holidays, Love Actually.
That's a good one.
Yeah, like I almost feel embarrassed saying it.
No, it's a good one.
It's just a good little rom-com. It is. And even for people that normally loathe rom-coms, too. Yeah. So that's a classic.
No, that's a good one.
Maybe it's the British accent. Yeah. I don't know. But then also, so not Christmas movies, but really just I like to watch them when I have extended periods of time off.
Yeah.
So Coming to America with Eddie Murphy.
That's a good one.
It's so nostalgic for me because, again, it was like a movie I watched with my dad. He probably introduced it to me at an age that I should not have been watching it, but it just there's just something that gives me the feels, and I associate it with any time I have time off to like lay in bed and watch movies and all the things. And so, you know, and then there's always that running joke where people ask like, "Oh, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not?"
Yeah. Because
if you ask my husband what his favorite Christmas movie is, he might say Die Hard.
I feel like every guy says that. Mm-hmm. I think mine would say the same thing. Like Die Hard. I mean, I don't know. It wouldn't be my favorite kind of Christmas movie.
Yes.
I'd probably be along the lines of more like Love Actually and like the ones I've mentioned.
Yes.
But yeah. Yeah, I think maybe it's a really good time around the holidays just to watch movies or binge a little Netflix or Hulu or whatever. Disney Plus. I mean, sky's the limit with our streaming services now.
I know.
It's crazy.
I don't know if this happens in your household, but we have like, we subscribe to like a good bit of the different streaming services.
Yeah.
And there are so many nights where like, oh my gosh, we cannot find anything to watch. And it's like, there's so much stuff out there.
Isn't that crazy that there's so much stuff out there, but yet one of my favorite things to do is to like just flip through and watch the trailers.
Yes.
Like I'm a trailer person. Like I don't have to watch the movie. Yeah. I can just watch it and be like, yeah, I get the gist of it. Sure.
Yeah.
Is there any movies coming out the movie theaters that you would go see? Or are y'all movie theater people?
We used to be like pre-children.
Sure. Yeah.
So nothing coming up right now. How about for y'all?
You know, I will probably see Black Panther, the second one.
Uh-huh.
Probably honestly when it comes on Disney Plus, only because I don't like getting out at nighttime and it's cold and I just rather be at home. But that, and I mean, honestly, I'm surprised there's not a Star Wars movie coming out. I feel like there's a Star Wars movie like every Christmas time. But no, I don't really go out to the movies as much anymore with Hulu, Disney Plus, Netflix, Amazon Prime. I mean, all the things. I mean, you could find, it comes out like soon after.
Yeah, there's not as much delay between the theater and then when it would come out on DVD or Blu-ray. Now it's like, oh, and now it's on my streaming service. Yes, I'll pay $3.99.
Sure.
To rent you.
Why not?
All the things. But okay, with that said, this is the end of it for this year, for this semester. So we will catch you next year in 2023. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.